Elizabeth Gilbert is the author of the hugely successful memoir Eat, Pray, Love, about her pilgrimage to India, Italy, and Bali to find herself. She also wrote the critically acclaimed 2013 novel The Signature of All Things. It told the story of a female botanist. It took the readers through much of the 18th and 19th centuries. What great ideas. What a successful writer. But you haven't heard about the ideas that got away, about the book that was transferred through a kiss from Elizabeth Gilbert to Ann Patchett. Say what? Elizabeth Gilbert has written a new book, part memoir, part manual on writing or just doing the thing that you've been putting off. It could be ice skating. It's called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear, and she joins us from NPR New York. Elizabeth Gilbert, good to talk to you again.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back. I appreciate it.
Let's start with the story that really set my hair on fire, which is this exchange between you and Ann Patchett. We'll explain. But first, you had this notion of ideas and how ideas come to us. Now, we talk about ideas as being something we have. You know, I have an idea, like it comes up from us and we have it. You say ideas are almost like healthy viruses that live outside of us and they choose us.
Yeah, this is the magical thinking that is at the center of this book. It's why the word magic is in the title as a warning for anybody who doesn't want to engage in it.
There's no science really behind this.
No. The way that I've always thought about creativity is that ideas are these disembodied life forms. They don't have a form, but they have a will, and all they want is to be made manifest, and they circle the world looking for human collaborators to work with. And when they find somebody who might be willing to work with them, you know, they sort of say, do you want to do this thing with me? And, you know, it's funny because even very rational, empirical people will use a certain kind of language when they talk about inspiration, when they say, and then this idea came to me. You know, like there's still this sense that this thing came from outward in. Mm-hmm. And then it's an invitation. Do you want to work with it or not? And if you say yes, you know, that's where the contract begins.
Well, actually, there is a Greek word for this. Eudaimonia?
Yeah, well, eudaimonia is a wonderful word that means the happiness that comes when you are engaged with your creative daemon at the highest level. They have one word for that, which is a lot easier than what I just said. Today, I think we would call it the flow, or the zone, that sense that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're doing it at a level that's at the height of your abilities, and you're doing it in such a manner that you kind of forget about time and space and you disappear into that thing. And I think all of us have brushed up against that at various times in our lives.
Well, that's the point, that you brush up against it. It's an external divine creative guide. As you say, people weren't geniuses. They had genius. They had something come to them.
Yeah, the Greeks and the Romans, you know, they used this word genius, and a genius wasn't a person. A genius was a spirit that lived in the house of a talented person. It's sort of a Dobby the house elf sort of thing, and who assisted you with your work sometimes and in weird ways and sometimes didn't, you know, a kind of a temperamental spirit at times, which also I think helps to relieve the anxiety that's inherent in creative pursuits, where artists and anybody who's doing anything creative struggle with this sense of, why do I sometimes have access to this thing and why do I sometimes not?
Right.
You know, that's also the reason why it feels as though you're doing a very strange dance with something that is not the same species as you, that comes and goes.
Well, and there's another option. Yeah, there, which is, why do I have it and then lose it? And that, I mean, I'm sure listeners are saying, what about a kiss with Ann Patchett? When do you get to that?
And let's get to the good part.
That brings us to this story, because you had one of the most wildly improbable ideas.
Yeah, this was an idea that I got from talking to my husband. And my husband is from Brazil, and he was talking about this big project that happened in the Amazon jungle in the 60s that was a disaster. And I got really intrigued by it, and I ended up writing a book proposal. And I'll synopsize it for you here.
Please.
It was going to be about this middle-aged spinster from Minnesota who has lived a very quiet, unassuming life. She works for a large company where she's been quietly in love with her married boss for years. He gets involved with a really ill-advised and expensive project down in the Amazon jungle, a bunch of money and a person goes missing. He sends her down to recover the money and the person, and her quiet life is overturned into a world of drama and chaos.
You're sort of poking around with this idea, but other things happen, including that you meet Ann Patchett, the author Ann Patchett. You hear her speak. She's phenomenal. You literally have this moment. You've just met each other, And you like kiss each other.
She kissed me.
Yes.
She kissed me, which is such an un-Ann Patchett thing to do. She's such a more reserved person than I am. But we did have this kind of electrifying moment. She'd given a staggeringly beautiful speech. And I said, "You're amazing. And I'm such a fan. And I think you're incredible. And I love you." And she kind of grabbed me and gave me a kiss, and we became friends at that moment. Now, around that same time, I had lost my novel. I had had a bunch of stuff come up in my personal life. I had detoured from working on that book for 2 years. When I returned to it, the only way I can describe it is that the sentient life energy in that idea had departed.
Gone.
And I had sort of given up on it.
Well, but you carry on your friendship with Ann Patchett. You exchange letters. I hope someday you publish them. But you each write each other these long letters, and you occasionally meet. And one day you meet, and you ask her, "Hey, what are you working on?" And she says,
"I'm working on a book about the Amazon jungle, a novel." And I said, "Well, that's funny, because a couple of years ago I even had a book deal, and I was working on one, and then the idea left me." And I said, "What's yours about?" She said, "You first. What was yours about?" And I explain mine, at which point she goes white and looks at me from across the cafe table and says, "You must be kidding me." And I said, "Why? What's yours about?" And she said, "It's about a lonely spinster middle-aged woman from Minnesota in love with her married boss. The boss gets involved in an ill-advised, expensive, crazy project down in the Amazon, a bunch of money and a person goes missing, and he sends her down to recover it, at which point her whole life turns into chaos." And as I point out,
this is not a genre. This isn't a genre, and you both have the same idea. And at this point in the story, that's when my hair went on fire.
It's a pretty wonderful moment.
It is. But it also, you both came to believe that what? You passed the idea from you to her?
When we counted back, when Anne got the idea and when I lost it, it was around the same time. And we like to think that it was exchanged in the kiss, and that the idea, which very much wanted to be made, realized that Liz Gilbert was not going to get the job done and saw a novelist with nothing on her plate at the moment and said, "I'm going to go into that novelist. She seems to be more, you know, ready for this." And Anne very sweetly, from that point forward, always referred to State of Wonder, which is the beautiful book that came out of this, as our Amazon novel.
It's really quite something. Anyone who's ever tried to do a writing project and maybe taken a little bit too much time, and then suddenly someone else is doing a project just like that, will recognize this. Oh, I didn't do it fast enough, or maybe I talked about it and put it back out in the ether and somebody else picked it up. That can be devastating. You're okay with this.
My interpretation of this is, you just got to witness a very miraculous thing happen. It's very cool that you got to be part of that.
You mean even Ann Patchett?
Yeah. And there are more. You know, ideas to me are not like taxi medallions that they only have like four of them and they give them, you know, they only give a few out every year. To me, you know, if you can manage to kind of open up your consciousness to the idea of living in a world of abundance, then you can believe that constantly ideas are trying to find human collaborators. And so for me, the really inefficient thing to have done in that situation would have been to become enraged or resentful, or to feel as though something were stolen from me, somebody got mine. You know, all of that stuff that we can do to shut ourselves down doesn't encourage further inspiration to come to you.
There's a lot of other tips for taking up pen and writing. One big one, don't quit your day job because it puts too much pressure on your creativity to support you. What's the one thing you'd want someone to know who wants to be a writer?
They can be. They can be. They don't need a permission slip from the principal's office to embark on that journey. And I would say, first and foremost, to make sure that they are every day in every single way that they possibly can, following their curiosity. We live in a society that fetishizes passion, that talks a lot about vocation. These are very intimidating ideas that I think leave people out. And I think if you can just sort of forget about passion and forget about vocation and focus on the tiny, friendly impulse of curiosity, which is within all of us, that is the way.
I keep two books on my bedstand. Well, I keep about 20, but two that never go away. And they're both by Natalie Goldberg. She wrote Writing Down the Bones and has written two books on writing. One is Wild Mind. And she says, don't just daydream about writing. Sit down for 15 minutes. Keep your hand moving. Begin a sentence with, "I want to write about," and do it.
Right. The late, great David Carr said, keep typing till it turns to writing. But I do want to add, too, that this book is not just for writers. And it's not just about writing. What I'm talking about when I talk about creative living is about living a life where you consistently make your decisions based on curiosity rather than fear. And that if you can continue to do that, then you will live whatever that direction may take you in, whether you're a professional or an amateur, whether it's the arts, whether it's some other pursuit, whether it's invention.
Ice skating, like your friend Susan.
Like my friend who took up ice skating in her 40s. Look, she didn't win the gold medal. She doesn't compete. She doesn't need to. She just found that this is the only thing that makes her feel so alive that she doesn't walk through her life feeling like a consumer or a hand puppet who's just here to work at a job and pay bills. We are here to engage with curiosity and with inspiration at the highest level. It's our shared human experience. It doesn't have to be writing, but it does have to be.
Elizabeth Gilbert, her new book on living the creative life is called Big Magic. Elizabeth, thank you.
My pleasure. I always love talking to you.